Growing up, I loved cowboy movies. We didn't call them Westerns. My grandpa called them cowboy movies. And every Saturday, we'd probably watch one together. Grandma and Grandpa were at our house quite often, lived there for some time. And Grandpa loved to sit down and watch cowboy movies with me. Now, some of you I know have probably seen one by the title Shane. Others of you have not. Shane was starring Alan Ladd. His daughter would become the fourth of Charlie's Angels. But in the movie in which her father starred as the character by which it is entitled Shane, he was the angel of the valley. You see, Shane was a gunslinger who hung up his guns. He was working as a ranch hand, helping a family out, when all of a sudden, someone wanted to take over the valley. And the black hat-wearing villain, played by Jack Palance, comes into town, along with his gang. Now, they know about Shane, and so they give him the chance to turn tail, to duck out, to leave, have the valley be defenseless. He is outnumbered, but he refuses to do so. Straps on his holster, goes into town, stands toe-to-toe, and in the end, though bleeding and wounded, he is victorious. The villains have been vanquished. The valley is safe. And Shane mounts his horse and rides off into the sunset. And if you've seen the movie, you remember what happens next, right? The boy who grew up at the ranch where Shane had been working, chases his hero off into the sunset, yelling, "Shane, don't go. There's still stuff for you to do. Shane, come back." It's the quintessential Western drama. The hero, having done what he came to do, having conquered evil, having brought safety to the community, even though he's hurt in the process, rides off into the sunset, job accomplished. And you can't help but kind of on this ascension day, see a little bit of that boy in each one of the disciples. Now, Jesus doesn't ride off towards the horizon. He's lifted above them. It's not the bright sun that is setting that obscures their visions, but the clouds which cover their Lord. But you can almost hear him crying, "Jesus, don't go. There's still stuff for you to do. Jesus, come back." And you can't help but see the similarity between the heroes of those accounts. One being history and the other being drama and fiction, but they still share stuff in common. Jesus has accomplished what he came to do. His work finished. Christ has died. Christ is risen. And the villainous gang that sought to take over the entire territory, not just one simple valley, but every peak and mount as well, the entire planet, turn it into darkness, shadow. The villainous gang of Satan and sin and sepulcher alike, they have been defeated by the hero. Bleeding, wounded, killed on a cross. Yet alive again, he ascends. He returns to his father. He tells those who love him that that's exactly what he's about to do. And you remember the accounts, right? They try to hold on to him. They cling to him. And he says, "Let me go. I must return to my father." And so the question before us is Jesus' ascension a sunset story? The Bible's answer is not, remotely. The ascension is not the conclusion of Jesus' heroic work. Jesus isn't just riding off into the sunset, done, end of tale. Rather, the ascension is the continuation of Jesus' work on earth. And in fact, Jesus' ascension brings some blessings to us. First of all, it promises us that Jesus is present with each of us personally. Jesus is present with each of us personally as a blessing that flows as a result of his ascension. Had Jesus stayed? Had he remained? Had he not gone? Jesus would have been forever, as he was in his earthly ministry, confined to being one place at a time. When Jesus was walking on the Sea of Galilee, he wasn't sitting in the temple teaching. When Jesus was feeding 5,000 at once on the mountainside, he wasn't in a bedroom with a family who just lost their daughter to an illness. But now Jesus is among us, each and every one of us, everywhere we are, personally, all the time. Jesus is with you at a time when you are riding off into the sunset, so to speak. You know, those sunset moments in life. Maybe it's the end of a career, time to call it quits and retire. Maybe it's the end of schooling and you're graduating. Maybe it's the end of a relationship. Just at the end of life itself. When his people have a sunset moment, our Lord is with them personally. He is present with them on those occasions. And he's present with them in their sunrise moments, you know, the beginning of things, the beginning of a new career, the beginning of a new relationship, the beginning of a new venture, the beginning of life, or new life in baptism. At those sunrise moments, our Lord is with his people personally present. And when the sun is high, or it's as dark as night, Jesus is with each and every one of us. His ascension assures us of that. In fact, that's the very promise he leaves with his disciples before he returns to his Father. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Of course, Jesus is valid, his ascension also is the validation that he has accomplished what he came to do. And he who is present with us is present for us with the Father. Jesus' ascension means that Jesus is present with the Father as your defender and your commender. Jesus stands before the Father as your defender. Father, for them I have defeated the villains. Father, for them I have accomplished my task. Father, for them I have bled. Father, I was injured on their behalf. Father, they are yours. Father, the promised land is theirs. By virtue of his ascension, Jesus stands before the Father as your defender. And he stands before the Father as your commender. Father, hear them for the sake of my name. Father, give ear to your prayers on account of me. Father, let them approach your throne on my behalf and account. Jesus' ascension promises that he is with you, present everywhere you go, and he is present before the Father on your behalf no matter what you go through as a defender and commender. And his ascension is validation that his power is present among us and that all power is his. You heard that second reading that Tom read. All things are under his feet. Not just some things. Not just many things. Not just most things. All things are his. And here's the big difference between Jesus' ascension and the Western stories. Jesus does not leave us alone when he departs. You know, whenever the stories would conclude on those westerns, you know, the sun setting, the guy riding off into it, and the big the end rolled across the screen, you know, the one thing I always thought about was, well, what are they going to do now that he's gone? You know, someone else is coming back. There's a lot of guys in the black hats. They always have more guys than the heroes. What's going to happen next? The disciples had to be thinking that too, right? Jesus is leaving. What's going to happen next? How are we going to make it through? What are we going to do? Unless I go, the Spirit will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. At Jesus' ascension, we are not left isolated. We are not left alone to our own defenses. Jesus sends us the Spirit to lead, to guide, to equip, and to enable us to continue his work on earth. See, the ascension is not the conclusion of Jesus' heroic deeds. Jesus simply isn't riding off into the sunset, everything done, nothing left to do. Rather, Jesus' ascension comes with a commissioning of his disciples. And he says, go west and east and north and south. Forgive sins. Care for the least of these, my brothers. Wash feet. Speak love. Tell everyone what I have done. Teach and baptize. Jesus' ascension is not a sunset story. It's not him just riding off into the west. It's him telling us to go west and east, north and south, with the promise that he goes with us, his Spirit guides us, and he is before his Father, defending and commending us. And so today we're going to conclude our understanding of what ascension is about as we stand, if you'll stand with me, and we're going to pray, as we have done in the past, directionally speaking. Just hold it there. You know, I think that'd be perfect for you. You look fantastic. Yeah, the Vanna White of Bethany Lutheran Church. There. All right, we're going to pray directionally. So we're going to look in the direction we're praying. If you can turn, if not, just kind of turn your attention that way. And we're going to start west. The prophet said, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is to be praised." Lord, today we pray that you would bless all of the neighborhoods to the west of our campus, in Lakewood and the Village, the Country Club in Bixby, from Paramount to downtown and beyond. May we love and serve those who live there as if it was you we were loving and serving. Bless our sister church, The Gathering, Pacific Lutheran High, Lutheran Social Services, Christian Outreach in Action, and those who dwell in the homes we have built through Habitat for Humanity. To the uttermost parts of the earth, Lord, we pray for Fallor Christian School of the Deaf and the Blind and Happy Home Lutheran Orphanage in India. Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to turn, or at least turn your thoughts eastward. Lord, today we pray that you would bless all the neighborhoods to the east of our campus and beyond, in Lakewood and the Village, the Plaza, Cypress, Cerritos, and Los Alamitos. May we carry the good news of Jesus. Bless those who teach and learn at Concordia University in Irvine, Lutheran High Orange, and Korean Lutheran High. And Lord, in the uttermost parts of the world, we ask you to continue to bless our seminaries and the Wittenberg Project. Lord, in your mercy, I invite you to turn, or turn your thoughts to the south. That's where the stage is at. The psalmist declares, you created the north. Mount Tabor praises you, and you created the south, and Mount Hermon praises you. Lord, today we pray that you would bless all the neighborhoods to the south of our campus, the Manor, the Estates, Los Altos, and Belmont Shore. Bless Seal Beach and Huntington Beach, and may we bring the light of Christ to our coast. Bless all who teach and learn and administrate at Long Beach State and Long Beach City Colleges. And to the uttermost parts of the earth, we pray your blessing upon the Odembes and Fakisha in Nairobi and the Rickmans in Panama. Lord, in your mercy. I invite you to turn to the north or turn your thoughts that direction. Lord, today we pray that you would bless all the neighborhoods to the north of our campus. You promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church, yet individual congregations can die. Bless, we pray, Lord, those who called St. Paul's Lutheran in Norwalk home for generations. Guide and direct them to new church homes now that their congregation has been dissolved. Bless the communities of Bellflower, Downey, and Norwalk, and may we be a means through which many might come to know the joy of Jesus. Lord, guide our sister congregations in Region 2 of the Pacific Southwest District. And in the uttermost parts of the earth, Lord, we lift up those communities in which we have served in Alaska. Lord, in your mercy. Yes, Lord, from the south to the north, from the east to the west, from the rising of the sun to its setting, your name is to be praised and your presence to be made known. We pray, Lord, that we who celebrate your ascension and the promise and blessing that it brings might seek to continue to serve you with great joy through the power of your Spirit, that many more might know you as the one who intercedes on their behalf, defender, commander, and brother, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.